It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And this is exciting today, the return of Iron Horse. We love Iron Horse. Lawrence Sterling back with us. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here.
You know, I love you, but I was hoping Joy would pop in.
That's what everybody says.
I really love Joy.
And as I was saying earlier, you know, the only time in my life I was quoted in the New York Times, it was Joy Sterling's brother said.
Yeah, she's one of a kind, man. Yeah. Oh, and Barry Herbst is here. Wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Iron Horse Winery. Lawrence, talk about the history of Iron Horse.
You want truth or legend?
Both.
I want both.
Or something in between. Just make some things up.
Well, I mean, the legend has it that it was... it was an old estate. I mean, it goes back to, the old Widow Wahey and had married Lawson Ross, so Ross Station Road, et cetera. Yeah. And he was a fascinating character. He had actually walked almost from Wisconsin for the gold rush and made some money and then came out to Sonoma County and bought up some land, he and his brother. And so he was a mixed-use kind of farm. And eventually it became a...
And that's the current building that...
No, wait, that's my parents' house.
The parents' house.
The main house.
Who I saw a few weeks ago at Christine Pelosi's book thing.
Signing.
Saw all of you guys. Man, they look good. They look the same as they did when I met them many years ago.
Well, I think you bring out the best in them. So.
It's the wine, dude.
Well, that helps, too.
Yeah.
At any rate, legend has it that when the railroad came through, the Native Americans referred to it as the Iron Horse, and that's how the ranch got its name. The truth of the matter is that, and I like that story, and it sounds really good. The fact of the matter is when the train did come through, and it did, it was in 1903, and there was an electric tram that ran from Petaluma, basically, to the Russian River, or to Forestville, and Santa Rosa.
Wow.
And by then, our Native Americans could say train. that said, it was a stud farm. And in theory, a trigger, not the trigger, not the one that was in the museum stuffed next to
Roy Rogers.
Well, Roy Rogers is a horse, right? But a trigger, and he raised Appaloosas, and the family ended up selling to Rodney Strong.
Hmm.
And Rodney was an amazing visionary and had the vision that this would be the perfect place to grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And so in the late 60s, early 70s, that's what he did. Unfortunately, vision does not necessarily pay the bills. And so luckily, he met my parents at a party. They had mutual friends in San Francisco. And my parents, we'd been living in Europe, and they'd been looking for a wine property. And they were always looking for a place where they liked the wine and they liked the house as well. And this just fell right into place. My father had a wonderful collection when we were in Paris, which he then brought back. And he realized that everything he had brought back were Bordeaux's. And the reason why he didn't have any Burgundies is because he drunk them all.
That's telling. What was he doing in Paris?
He was an international attorney in the sense that he was an American in France. That makes you an international attorney.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And the thing is, he really got a wonderful introduction to wine and eventually became a member of the main chapter of the Chevalier de Tatvin in Burgundy. And one of their blind tastings came in second on identifying wines to Laloux Bizlois. Yeah,
company.
He had an amazingly good
company.
Yeah, and he had an amazing palate. And so, it all came together at Iron Horse.
That's great. Does he still have his robe and on, his Tostavan?
Well, he's still got his certificate. I don't think he has the robes anymore, yeah. But he might.
It's a cool outfit.
I love Joy, and I love your mother. She was so cool a few weeks ago when we were at the house. She looked up and went, gave me a big hug. And I'm going, wow, I haven't seen you in a few years.
Yeah, that's great.
She's a regular listener. No,
it's Iron Horse Today on California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst. Brought to you by Bottle Barn. Okay, this shard.
So this is our 2015 estate shard.
2015?
Yeah, we've got it.
Mm-hmm. You've got it.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you know, yeah.
And a shadow of what it will be.
Well, we have some others from, but it is, you know, we started replanting our vineyard, our main vineyard, in about 2005. I mean, a significant replanting. And one of the big changes was focusing on clones. As Dan and I were talking about earlier, you know, like 80% or so, you would know better than I do, of California Chardonnay are clone for Wente clone.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And so we knew that we needed to get away from that, and where we could do that is in the vineyard. Now, we had planted some Dijon clone Chardonnays, and they were very nice, and they were great for sparkling. But instead, we decided to experiment with, well, not really experiment, but went out and tasted and found Heidel 20 that was clean, that was good. Mm-hmm. And we found what we call the Ruud clone, mm-hmm. because Mr. Ruud's not around to complain. So,
Dan is going to talk about the Ruud clone in a minute, but so go ahead.
And so what that did was, I think, got us into being able to change the direction of our Chardonnays into, I think, just a different style. I mean, the Ruud brings a kind of muscat quality to it, and the Heidel Wente has that beautiful minerality. Mm-hmm. So you were talking, what are you comparing it to? And it's sort of interesting in this case with the blending, you don't get it as noticeable.
Well, not initially, Lawrence, but we opened up our bottle of the 05 about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the 2005 Ruud from Iron Horse. We put it in a decanter. I give it 10 minutes in a glass and nothing was happening, so I put it in a decanter and let it sit open for about another hour. And, boy, this stuff is just totally phenomenal. It's why I bought as much as I did at the beginning. That's the only time that I've ever really gotten so excited that I bought a whole case of Chardonnay. I'm not a big Chardonnay lover, but this was phenomenal stuff.
Well, tell me why I love this Chard.
Because it's transitional. It's already got a few years on it, so it's about 4 years old now. But it's in a place where another 3 or 4 more years, and it'll be that much better, and it's going to get better still. I'd say that this has got to be at least a 15-year wine. This one right here, this is the 15. So this will be great in 10 years from now.
Tremendous. Dan, lay it down, Berger.
He's not afraid.
No, this stuff is just...
He has more patience than anyone.
Our experience with Iron Horse Chardonnays goes way back, and it all the way back to the late to the mid 90s, early 90s, and you start to see these Chardonnays, they continue to get better and better and better, and starting in the early 00s, they started getting just phenomenal. And so your vision, I remember we were standing on your property, Lawrence, and you telling me what specific clones are going to go and watch in which parts of the vineyard. And I was thinking, boy, this is, and that was back in 05. And that's, mm-hmm. 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah. You're getting the best of both worlds in this. You got tremendous structure, but then you have that sort of exotic tropical quality that people really love, maybe too much in the late 90s, early 2000s. But I agree with you. This could go a long time.
Very few Chardonnays from California are made with the right fruit and with the right technical expertise to make it into the bottle for 15 or 20 years, but these do.
Yeah.
Well, part of it also is one of the things we've been, Dave Monksgaard, our winemaker, has been working on, is to try and find that oak balance. Mm-hmm. And one of the trick is water bent or steam bent barrel. And what that does is, you know, normally they bend it on an open flame, and that toasts the barrel. Mm-hmm. And you get a kind of raw oakness to it. Mm-hmm. And this way, by doing the steam bent, and it normally was done for Bordeaux wines, mm-hmm. so that they could keep them in the barrel longer, so you don't get that harsh tannins.
And or so, the smoke. No smoke either from that.
Well, they charring. Do then toast them.
Oh, okay.
Okay, including the heads, but after they've steamed them.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so it just means that you're not getting
steamed?
A lot of steam.
Steamed. Oh, steamed.
Steamed.
Into place. My hearing and sight are going. I'm old and cranky. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm getting there. I'm just cranky.
That's I was going to throw a geek alert out, but it was just my hearing.
So what that does is, again, you know, we're going for the balance. And then the other trick is we're not afraid to do some malolactic fermentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it as needed.
What's your history as far as the family goes? I mean, how long, when did you decide, I want to be part of all this in the wine world?
My wife, and then two children moved up to Sonoma County from Los Angeles in 1990.
What were you doing down there?
Well,
go ahead, you can say.
Laudatory in that sense. I was a
corporate... not porn actor?
No, that would have been fine, but I lack the assets.
Try that. You and me both, brother.
I was a corporate attorney specializing in mergers, acquisitions, and takeovers and the like.
Wow.
Yeah. If you ever read the book, The Barbarians at the Gate, about the takeover of RJR Nabisco, I was one of the barbarians.
There you go. Well, that's some high-pressure crap and a lot of work, so I can see you go, wait a minute.
Well,
what if I go to Sonoma County and make wine?
At the moment in time, the whole takeover thing kind of came to an end, or at least I thought it did, and so it was an opportune time to leave Dodge.
Yeah,
and
just get off that L.A. freeway, baby.
And then eventually I took over mainly the vineyard operations. My title is Director of Operations, which is really good. So do you like the wine?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you
Director of
me?
Operations.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all
if
about
you,
Lawrence,
if you
folks.
If you don't like the wine, well, here's the winemaker and there's the CEO.
Very simple.
Wow. And your folks...
they bought the property in 76.
Yeah. And they're just chilling and watching you guys make some amazing products and...
Well, thank you.
And drinking.
Well, they're...
The amazing product.
You know, they're still very... Very important in that, you know, as I point out to everybody, we're all fungible except for mother. and with like our sparkling, with the classic vintage brut, she is the final decider on the dosage on that one.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
She is amazing. I just,
they keep us all honest and that's really good.
Yeah. This is a 2017 Chardonnay.
This is the 17 unoaked Chardonnay. So I don't know if you have it.
I got it.
Okay.
That's what I have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think unoaked Chardonnay is the most transparent of all wines that you can make in California because there's nothing between you and the grape here. There's no barrel to speak of. There's no particular additional processing. And what you have is a wine that some people will simply open it and drink it tonight, and that's perfectly fine. But if you should open it and put it in a decanter and let it sit for an hour or two, you get that much more. Hmm. And then if you let it sit for 24 more hours, then it becomes even more and more. It's like, I hate to say, it's like Chablis.
Well, the similarities are there. I mean, in theory, no oak, in properly done Chablis.
Oh, yeah.
I like this even better than the first one, and I love the first one, but this I love Unoped.
Yeah.
Again, one of the things that we found with the Unoped was, okay, to get it right, you know, the first year we did the Unoped was 2005, and the reason why we did that is because the main press broke, our bladder press, and the little Italian ladies who could sew a new bladder were on vacation. So we had to use a smaller press, which meant we had to run it through the destemmer. Actually, I used the word crusher, but actually we never crushed the fruit at Iron Horse for a very good reason. It turns out we don't have a crusher.
As good a reason as there gets.
And anyway, so it had to go through the destemmer, and that has a factually doing that is in effect crushing, and that actually goes a long way towards moderating the acidity. And on top of it, it was in 05 where there was just a way overproduction, and in those days, if you didn't order your barrels beforehand, there weren't any on the floor, so to speak. And so we did manage to source some earlier, but for the most part, we just didn't have the barrels, so that basically the Unoped came about totally by accident. But luckily, David Munsgaard is a wonderfully good, very calm and adaptive. You know, sort of the motto is adapt, improvise, improve. You know,
and then Barry, do you have the Unoaked at the barn?
Yeah, okay, I think it does slightly outsell the Estate Chardonnay at our store. It definitely tends to get a crowd.
It stands out, I think, from a lot of other Chardonnays. But part of the trick also with the Unoaked was moving it from clone 4 to these newer clones. And then also, instead of just doing the Heidel Windy, also adding in the Ruid clone to give it more of that complexity.
So it's a different mix than the Estate of clones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a 2017, which in my book is way too young. That's why I would open it and drink it 2 days later. But if you have the patience for it, put it in a decanter for 2 or 3 hours and watch what happens. This stuff is really, it's miraculous how it changes.
Good thing you brought more wine, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a 2017 Ruid clone Chardonnay from Iron Horse Vineyards. Okay, explain, Lawrence, the Ruid deal here again.
Well, Ruid is vines that were originally, the name comes from Mr. Ruid, who had a property in Green Valley across from the old Dutton, the original Dutton property.
Okay.
On Grayton Road, I think. Not Grayton Road. I think it is Grayton Road. And
how long ago?
Long ago.
Okay.
And I talked to some
old... So you guys can use the name because he's gone.
He's gone. But when we got it, it was... all Wente clones originate back to 1913, I believe, from the original Wente Brothers vineyard in Livermore, which they had planted using Chardonnay sent to them by the University of Montpellier.
In France.
And they didn't really keep track of what was where, except that they did have, this one goes here, this one goes there, and winemakers and growers would come and take cuttings from their favorite vines. So, for example, Stony Hill clone comes from that same vineyard, but it was planted at Stony Hill. And we ended up getting some in a vineyard we planted in the 80s directly from Mr. Ruid.
And it's R-U-E-D. Yeah.
And Mr. Ruid, it was fine. And then starting, I think, with 05, we had this interesting problem, which we were seeing signs of phylloxera. And one way to slow down the onset of phylloxera is to make sure the vines get a lot of water. And all of a sudden, we were treating this particular block with just like babies. And the vines literally rewarded us. And all of a sudden, you could be walking through the road, and all of a sudden, you could see these berries that were just wonderful, and you would taste them, and all of a sudden, you would get that. And I think you can get that here, that muscat quality. Mm-hmm. You can taste it in the berries.
Yeah, I get it.
And the key.
Muscat.
Yeah, very aromatic. And
yeah.
And the key is, and where it gets difficult, is with the timing. There'll be like a 1 or 2 day window in which the acidity is just right, and you're getting those wonderful muscat flavors, and then you wait 3 more days, and the acidity goes woomph, and it doesn't happen.
How the hell do you figure that out, and how do you know it?
Well, that's the beauty.
Sleep in the vineyard.
That's the beauty of being estate bottled.
Okay, yeah.
See, when you're estate bottled, I can say, okay, crew, you know, the winemaker goes out, he samples, he tastes, and then the next day, and then he says, okay, I decided we're going to pick here. And everybody shows up. I go, this is where you're picking.
This is phenomenal as well. Dan, why do I love this?
You could argue that there are prototypes for every varietal and every type of wine. And this is a prototype of Green Valley Chardonnay from the Ruid clone. There is nothing quite like it. It's spicy, but not very spicy, just subtly spicy. So it's not atypical of Chardonnay. In fact, it's an exact prototype of Chardonnay from that region.
Really? Mm-hmm. Because it is. It's got spiciness.
It's
that's
got
for
the
sure.
spice character, but it's
which
subtle.
I don't taste in a lot of in many Chardonnays.
And years to come, this will be a better wine, even though the spice component will not be as evident as it is now.
Really?
And yet, just to show how good Dan is, I'm now going to read from our text sheet, which I had nothing to do with.
Dan wrote or no?
No. Okay. By nose, spice, rose hips, grapefruit, and peach. By mouth, gentle and balanced muscat, red apple, and peach.
Now Lawrence is going to read from The Great Gatsby. Stay tuned around your radios, people.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I'm reading right now because I think it's appropriate for the times. W.H. Auden's The Age of Anxiety.
Oh, yeah. I read something about that. Or am I just making that up?
It's perfect. It just seemed to be right.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is not exactly an easy wine to get a hold of because the winery is selling it directly only because there's so little of it. How much did you make of this?
We made only 250 cases.
Probably not difficult to sell all that.
Wow.
Isn't
it bottle burning?
The problem is that the wholesalers, it's too small an amount.
Right.
And so then, and the worst thing you could do for a wine specifically is to put it on when it's under allocation. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden it's like, okay, you can only buy 6 bottles. And right. You're like, well, what am I supposed to do that for? I mean, if you had a certain person you knew who was going to buy those right. 6 bottles, you'll do it. Right. But otherwise, they just get lost in the mix.
It goes on a wine list, and then it sells out, and then they have to reprint their list.
It's ironhorsevineyards.com. To get there, they're on Ross Station Road in Sebastopol. And Lawrence, it's reservations. You got
to
call.
You have to make a reservation beforehand. And you could do that either online or call the winery.
But it's beautiful out there.
One of the best tasting rooms in Sonoma County.
Yeah, talk about the tasting room.
Well, the tasting room has evolved.
Indoor, outdoor, right?
It's outdoor. And every once in a while in winter, it's like, well, but what do people do? And the answer is, well, we get flooded anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Get there. So drink a bunch of wine.
Yeah.
And take a swim. I mean,
we don't have a 100-year flood. We have like a 6-month flood.
Right. Stock up in summer.
And so basically we've been it's been really great being just sort of like, you know, it used to be a couple of barrels and some planks, and we're now a little bit better than that. But it still has a what my sister Joy refers to as rustic elegance.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice. Our emphasis on the rustic. But it really, I mean, the wines are elegant. And I think it's I just noticed that people really enjoy it, and we have this extraordinary view on Mount St. Helena.
Yeah, it's really great.
Beautiful. And is there food or pairings, or how does that
on
work?
From April through October, on Sundays, the oyster girls come out.
Yeah, they were there last time.
You gotta love the oyster so girls.
And that is a wonderful pairing. Yeah. I mean, you have to take out a second mortgage, but it's worth it.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm.
Good stuff. IronHorseVineyards.com. Check them out. Look at everything they're doing, and make a reservation to get out there to the tasting room and enjoy yourself.
Our main focus is on sparkling.
Right.
And we're most known for that. And we are in a perfect location for sparkling. But the way I look upon what we do is we grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Mm. And sometimes the grapes will say, make me into sparkling. Mm. And sometimes they'll say, oh, this should be Chardonnay, or this should be Pinot Noir.
Is there any Chardonnay and any sparkling here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Blanc de Blanc. We do...
Right, right. Okay. Dan, talk about the sparkling wines at Iron Horse.
You can make a pretty strong case for this being one of the top three or four sparkling wine producers in the country. One of the reasons is that this fruit is just phenomenal. But also because David Munksgaard, who has a New York history to him, is not afraid of acidity. And therefore, he makes these wines with a classic nature, almost a champagne-style nature. And the wines have this ability to age beautifully. And they are absolutely stunning when they come on the market, but they get better in the bottle, almost like no other California sparkling wine. So these are really very, very different style. They're unique, and they really represent Sonoma County beautifully.
Well, these shards.
This is the beauty of making the sparkling, is that we really don't have to try and shoehorn our Chardonnay into a Chardonnay program.
Gotcha.
I think this is true industry-wide in California, is that Chardonnay had become basically a workhorse for the winery.
Right.
I won't say tank to bank per se, but it was pretty quick. I mean, you got it in, you got it out, and you just had to maintain a certain level, and it was, particularly if you're a larger producer, it was just a nice, good, solid part of the business. And I think we realized that we can't make that work, that particular way of looking at Chardonnay. And so, you know, going back with our replant back, you know, starting in 2005, was what can we do to take everything to a higher level, both for the sparkling, and then use that to make a better Chardonnay that we actually like drinking.
Right. One of the greatest wineries in Sonoma County, and the history is amazing. Go to the website, IronHorseVineyards.com. Lawrence Sterling, pleasure to see you again, sir.
Great seeing you, Steve.
Thanks for coming in. Dan Berger. And Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. What are we doing next week?
I think it's Ed Zabraja. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
What's going on at Bottle Barn?
We got rosé coming. That's what's happening now. It's going to be early this year.
Oh, lots of rosé.
Which is fitting for the weather we've been having. But it's coming early. Everybody wants to get it out there. And looks like another great year for rosé.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Mm-hmm. Barry Herbst, Dan Berger, and the great Lawrence Sterling. Dude, say hi to Joy.
Will do.
Okay. Right.
Thanks a lot.
We'll see you again soon.